How come floods come, preacher? Well, Eve looked at the tree, and she saw it was good to look upon, good for food, and a desire to make one wise, and she took and ate and gave to Adam, and he did eat. All bad things, all sin, all deaths, all tears, all sorrows comes because of that. But yet, Jesus died for us. I know how come the big flood came, because man's heart's doing evil continually. Now, I never try to answer why a flood came. I can't answer that, neither can you. I never dwell on it. Why somebody dies, I never dwell on it. I live close enough to God. If he wants me to know, he'll tell me. I say, I can't answer those questions, but I sure can show you the love of God. I sure can show you what the response was. I can sure show you what God's love does for people in giving, helping, and working, all kinds of things. Somebody, I don't even know where they're from today. I think Parkersburg said, we want to shovel out some mud, or we want to, I said, I got a place for you. Amen. So all walks of life appreciate it. Jackson County been wonderful, especially good. Book of Psalm 78. Book of Psalm 78. But I come here to tell you about Jesus Christ. I never preached gloom and doom and despair. I told the pastor, I said, now when I did go in Sunday morning, and there wasn't a lot of people there, because we had like 28 families in our own church that was flooded, you know. But I thought, man, what can I tell them? And what, you know, and you feel that responsibility, and the pastor should feel that responsibility. And I sat down there and trying to, you know, I have a message the Lord gave me, but. And it really didn't seem to go along. It's about the love of God. I was going to preach on that Thursday night, and that place got flooded out. It rained. That's when the rain first come. Well, I was preaching another place on Friday, and the Lord said, well, you just used on Friday. Now, I don't just pick up a message and preach it wherever he gives. Well, they got flooded out. So the Lord said, well, use that Sunday morning. I said, well, Lord, that seemed a lot better on Thursday about the love of God before everything happened. You know, and I just talking to him. He still loved before and after the floods. He still loved before and after diseases. Amen. Because his love is right there on the cross of Calvary that gives me eternal life. Amen. I'll have a time when there'll be no sorrow and tears, but amen. But anyway, I thought, what can I tell him? And the Lord said, listen to him, Clarence. They're praising the Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. Psalm 78, beginning at verse 9. Psalm 78, beginning at verse 9. Again, there's not words to express all the love and the monies that Jackson County alone has sent. It's 10 times over what I thought the Lord would do. He's good. Exceedingly abundantly. Psalm 78, about the history of Israel, we're going to pick up in verse 7. And they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. And not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God, and refused to walk in his law, and forgate his works, his wonders, that he eschewed them. Marvelous things did he in the sight of the fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. He made the waters stand as a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with the light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. They tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, he smote the rock that the water gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people? Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy, and we thank you, Lord, for your great grace. We thank you, Lord, for saving our soul and making us whole. We thank you, Lord, for being so good to us. Lord, for this invitation, we thank you, Lord, to be with friends, so many that we know. And Lord, we meet in the houses of God, and we thank you. Lord, love being with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And God, we most of all thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, that died for our sins. Lord, we come to you. We always ask that you anoint physically, that we may preach the word of God in the strength of the flesh. But above all, God, that you anoint spiritually, may preach thy word in the power of the Spirit, tying together the loose end, filling the voids we leave because of our inabilities. Let thy word go out freely. Let it accomplish that which you have set for it. It's not about us and them. It's about all of us need you. It's about all of us need your grace and your mercy. So, Lord, whatever is needed for instruction, for correction, for invitation, for calling, for challenges, whatever, God, only you can take one message and apply it to all the different hearts. So we trust in you. Anoint, we pray, dear Jesus. Amen. Amen. From this, verse 19, yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? And also, I want to point out verse 32. For all this, they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. And I write in my Bible, and if you write in yours, that's up to you. If I write in mine, it's up to me. If you say I shouldn't, I'll say, give me a Bible verse for that. If you don't give me a Bible verse, I say, then what you have is an old opinion. And I do on that on about anything. Amen. So sometimes you realize, but anyway, out of that, I put it across from my American still sins. All this, they sin still. All the things that's coming, all the wars and all the rumor of worlds and wars and all the things that are happening and all the murders and all the mass killing and all of everything and all the earthquake and all the floods and all the fires, America still sins. Pretty amazing that we never learn from history, isn't it? Pretty amazing that history has to keep repenting itself. If we had any other occupation, if I did something in every occupation, if you're a doctor and you repeatedly kill everybody you operate on, they would say you need to change your procedure a little bit. If you're a mechanic and break every bearing you put on, you say you need to change your procedure a little bit. We've learned from history. Most of the time when I work on things, the first go around, I just go to school on it. The second go around, I might get it a little better. Yeah. Amen. Amen. But for some reason, churches and some reason, America and some reason, people don't seem to get it. Repeat everything that we need to know, everything that we're going to face, everywhere, everybody here tonight, every one of you is living somewhere in this word at this very moment. You're living in faith, or you're living in doubt, or you're living in this way or that. That every one of us can find ourselves every day of the week, every moment, everything that comes upon us, everything we face, every disappointment, every sorrow, every blessing, every need, you'll find yourself here in the Word of God. Pretty amazing book, isn't it? Never has to be updated. Never has to be updated. Finishing about 2,000 years ago, written over a period of 1,500 years and going back 2,500 years before that by more than 40 different people, and yet Genesis ties in with Revelation all in between, and everything we need to know is there. That's pretty amazing. That's a miracle within itself. That and within itself tells us we ought to pay attention to this book. We ought to pay attention. If I tell you I have a commandment, does that mean it's optional? In nothing else does that mean it's optional. You're all there, a school teacher. If you got a commandment, if this is what you'll do, you'll turn your paper in here, that doesn't mean it's optional. But for some reason, churches and people that profess to be Christian, they seem to think commandments are optional. The word itself says, it's not optional. He said, if you love me, Clarence, you'll keep my commandments. So when you tell me I love the Lord, I just don't live right, I say the Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You say, no, I love the Lord. I just don't keep his commandments right now. I say, the Bible said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. No, I love the Lord. I just do that. I said, the Bible says. Amen. I enjoy keeping the commandments. I haven't got the message yet. I'm just getting a prelude. This is just the introduction. You all ever read those when you start a book? Do you all read the introductory? Just go straight. You always go straight to chapter one, don't you? Well, you ain't going to tonight. We're going to get the forward. We're going to get the dedicated to. We're going to get without the help of my wife and without the help of the secretary, I could have never got this through. Without the help of the Holy Ghost, I have no message. Okay, I guess the Lord said go ahead and start. So that kind of, that time doesn't count, okay? If you're timing me, you have to start now because that doesn't count, okay? We're now starting chapter one. And I don't know how many chapters in the book, so just relax. Yea, verse 19. Yea, they spake against God and said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, that's a very important statement. Asaph wrote Psalms, and David wrote a lot of Psalms. He didn't write all the Psalms. When you read the book of Psalms, always look at the heading, and it'll give you information. It may say, in this case, Asaph. It may say, Chilla Asaph. It may say, a Psalm of Moses. It may say, when David was in the wilderness. It may say, when David has sinned with Bathsheba. It may say different things, and the heading's important. So this is a Psalm of Asaph. And then given the history of Israel, he told what Israel and what God has done for Israel, how he brought them out, how he done things. And now he speaks about what Israel is doing. Amen. Verse 19. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? So, what I want to preach on tonight is living a God can life. You have a choice in this life of reading that and living like this says. That everything you come against, you say, can God do this? Or you have a choice of turning those two words around and living a life of victory. Amen. God can. What should have came in verse 19, after we've seen what God has done, after they've seen what God had brought them out with the 10 plagues, after they saw what God had done on the 10th plague, that when the blood was applied, the death passed over the firstborn. When the blood wasn't applied, death came. When they went to the sea and stood there at the sea, and Moses said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. These Egyptians you see today, you shall see again, no, not forever. And a wall of fire went before them, a cloud behind them, between the enemy and the sea rolled back and stood at heaps. They went in the mist. It stopped downstream too. I want you to imagine the faith that it took to step in at a wall of water, very high, on both sides. It takes some faith. Amen. But God dried up the ground. He points out they went across on dry. Now God knows how to spell mud. Amen. He went across on dry ground. Amen. A heap, a wall of water. A congealed, it says, in one place. Amen. He stopped it. It didn't back up anywhere. It didn't leave anywhere. Amen. It just simply, in everyday English, it just simply turned to jello and everything just stayed like it was. Everything has stayed like it was. They went across, and you would think that would keep them forever in faith. You would think that it would keep them forever in faith. You would think that when the rock was struck and the stream flows out, it said ran down like river. I believe I saw one of the Ten Commandments movie or one of those. At one point I saw him come out. There's a little stream of water and holding a little jug up there to get water. Now you got about 1.5 million people. You got, for all practical purposes, you got the state of West Virginia coming out. Pretty big responsibility to feed the state of West Virginia tomorrow, ain't it? Pretty big responsibility to find food for them. Pretty big responsibility, nobody in the state of West Virginia has water. Amen. Nobody has food. And God provided the water. It gushed out like rivers. It ran, as it said, like rivers. Amen. Manna was fed. And yet they said, can God? All that God did. I will remind every Christian here, there was a time when you was deep in sin. There was a time when there was no hope. There was a time when death was in you. There was no life inside of you. And you came to Jesus. And you ask Him to save your soul, and you believe that He did, and a new life began within you. Now look at a new life. Let me get on that just a second. I look at a new life just like a spiritual body, just like a physical body. He put a life in me. When He put that in there, it was a little baby. Amen. But that had DNA in it. He said in that DNA, I'm going to grow, Clarence. In that DNA, I'm going to give Him a desire to learn my gospel. In that DNA, I'm going to call Him a priest sometime. Amen. Or I'm going to call Him a priest. In that DNA, I'm going to do that. And I grew and I did my part. I kept it in good ground. I kept the holy manna in my life and the well of water spring up in me. Amen. And I begin to grow. And I fill out my inside just like my outside. I believe you need to grow. Amen. After you've been in this a while, the spiritual man head will be up in your head. The spiritual man arms will be out to your fingertips. His toes will be in your toes. Now when you're first saved, you just got a little baby of a spiritual man. Hey, some of you after 40 years have grew about that much now. Ladies, obviously I would not know what it's like to be pregnant, but I think a 40-year pregnancy would be kind of tough. You need to grow. Amen. You need to grow. Hey, everything the Bible says grow. Everything the Word of God says grow. Amen. We're to grow. So we thank God. But they didn't grow. Everything that come up, every trial that came up, everything they faced, it was, can God get me through this? Can God do this? Oh, I want to live a God can life. I want to live a life believing. Amen. Many years ago, in fact, is towards the end of our labor, the lockout thing, and I was working for minimum wage down at the state at that time, and I went in, and I didn't know how finance was going to be, but they always made it. I went in to move a desk for somebody, had no idea who it was. They had sent me into this office, and anyway, I was just labor, minimum wage, and going to move a desk, and things are, you know, getting pretty rough. I looked on that desk, and there was a sign. Never saw the woman, I don't think, after they don't have any idea. Just saw the sign on the desk. It said this. It said, faith is more than believing God can. Faith is believing God will. I looked at that sign. I thought, wow. Faith is more than believing God can. Faith is believing God will. I said, thank you, Lord. He forever burned that sign in my memory. Amen. He forever burned that sign. I believe. And of course, all that. And without going all the explanation on the sign, we know it's according to the will of God. Amen. There's some things. Amen. God's will is that for this or that to happen. It is God. It is not God's will that any should perish. It is God's will that everybody be saved. Whatever doctrine you develop about who can be saved or how bad they can be or if they go this, you start at the top of your flow chart and you say, it's not God's will that any should perish. And while I'm on that, so I only get one night, so I got to get everything I know. While I'm on that, we spoke about Bible opinion. You say, you got an idea how young a person be before they get saved. I said, okay, give me a Bible verse on it. Well, it said, well, you say, I don't think people get saved right on deathbed. I said, well, give me a Bible verse on it. Well, they just got saved when they got real sick. I don't believe it. I said, well, give me a Bible verse on it. Well, it says, I said, what you have is an opinion. God doesn't say how well you have to be. He doesn't say how sick you have to be. He doesn't say how young you have to be. He doesn't say how old you have to be. You say it's not fair that somebody gets saved just a day before they die. I say, I agree. It's not fair. I've got to spend the last 45, 50 years with Jesus. I've got to feel His blessing day after day after day. I've got to see Him do miracles in lives. It's not fair. I'll have a much, much, an overtime, abundant, better life than they. No, it's not fair. They didn't get to enjoy any of that. But living a God-can life. So, verse 41 is an important verse also. See, the day they turn back and tempt to God. Now, when you think God's not limited, I want you to read this verse. And limited, the Holy One of Israel. God can't be limited. He can by us. God hears everything I pray. Not to what the Bible says. He said, no, God hears every prayer. He said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, I will not hear you. God will not bless you when you're out of His will. He can't. He blesses His word. He blesses His word. When you live in His word, amen, you'll live a life that's blessed. That doesn't mean you're going to drive a new car. It doesn't mean you're going to drive a Ford or a Chevrolet. Amen. What it means, He'll bless you. Blessing me means I feel good mostly all over more than any place else. That's why I count as blessings. Amen. What's the Bible on that? In Acts, He said, in Acts, He sent Him to bless you, sent His Son Jesus Christ to bless you in turning every one of you away from your iniquities. What is the greatest blessing you have in your life? The day you got saved is what God, that's the greatest of all blessings. Because that plugged me into eternal life. What's going to happen when you die, Clarence? I ain't going to be plumb dead. Because the outside's dead. Amen. Don't say he looks natural. Because naturally I'm smiling, I'm aggravating, I'm playing, I'm doing something. Amen. Now some of you might look natural dead. Amen. And some of you, there's a song that said, I know you by the smile I meet you in the morning. I know you by the smile you wear. I thought, I ain't going to recognize some of them. Amen. But there's part of me that doesn't die. The part of me, He said, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Amen. The resurrection, He said, we've heard you going, I am the resurrection. Amen. The resurrection moved inside of me. They put eternal life in me. There's no change, amen, of my spiritual being. There's no change. I was alive before the natural, before this body dies. I don't die when this body dies. Amen. I'm alive forevermore. Do you all ever worry about death spiritually? I never think about death spiritually. At my young age, I don't even think about literally. I can see y'all didn't buy that one. Living a God-can life. Living a God-can life. If they could only kept believing, Israel could just kept believing what God has done. But then I look around and I see times Christians, I see time when disaster comes. Amen. A disaster comes. They want to meet. A disaster comes. They want to drink. A disaster comes. They want to cross the sea. A disaster comes. Amen. All these things. And they turn from God. I've seen many people in my time. Amen. That disaster came. And they ran from church. Sometimes people would come to me and say, if God is just, how come? I say, whoa. I'm not mean spirited at all, but I won't discuss it. We're going to start with this. God is just. Now, what's your question? I'm not going to debate anything when you say, if God is love. I say, no, the Bible says God is love. If you say, if God's love, how come He's not love? I say, the Bible says God is love. I want you to know that at the same time He's a love, He's a consuming fire. He's a spirit and He's light. Amen. If God is just, no, I won't discuss that with you. God is just. You can go on with your next statement after that, but we're not going to debate where God is just. Everything he says is true, and everything he does is right. The Bible would say that in the book of Psalms. Amen. By interpretation. Hey, if they could have just remembered all they had done, every one of us, if we can just remember, as the church has never stopped praising the Lord. We praise the Lord. Nobody has slowed down. The church, the service has been just like they've always been. Sunday morning was a praising time. Sunday night was a praising time. And I'm sure they'll praise the Lord tonight. He's good all the time. He was good before Elk River wiped out everybody close to it. He's good tomorrow. He's good anytime. He's always good. Amen. He's always my God. He always knows where I'm at. Now, like Job sometime, we may not know where he is. We may not be able to feel him, but by faith, I know he knows where I am. Amen. Sometimes he may be asleep in our ship that's rocking to and fro, but he knows. He said, Clarence, when he said that in the book of Mark, he got on board with the disciple and he said, let us pass over to the other side. You know what that means? That means that it's going to pass over to the other side. Amen. There wasn't going to be a storm that took them. There wasn't going to be a sea monster that took them. There wasn't going to be pirates that took them. There wasn't going to be a submarine that took them out. They was going to pass over to the other side. When in 1962 I go on board with him, I'm passing over to the other side. Amen. There's been some waves and there's been some problems and there's been some times I may not know what's going on, but I know I'm going to the other side. I'm on board with Jesus. Hey, the ship is never going down with Jesus. Amen. I want to live a God can life. Hey, I want to live a God can. That doesn't mean I got blinders on. I don't realize what's going on. I just know he knows everything about me. And everything that happens is according to his will. Hey, I'm going to suffer too at times. I got glasses because I got old. I got teeth. I mean the removable kind. Because I got old. I got arthritis and high blood pressure and diabetes and AFib and all that because, boy, I love to preach. I feel about 17 when I preach. I mean, when I finished, I'm not, but praise the Lord. Hey. Oh, but you're a Christian. It don't make any difference. Hey, eat all the right food. Everybody in here, I mean, we're on a health kick. We drink water. Hey, when I grew up at Grandma's house, every one of us drank out of the same bucket, the same dipper, time after time after time. And Grandpa that killed him at 90. But we think, I'll drink this water. I'll pay $2 a pint for it. I'll drink this water. When that first started happening, years ago, I said, how come you people complain about, at that time, gasoline only $1.50? When I grew up, it was 20-some cents to 30. But he said, you're complaining about $1.50 for gasoline. You're going in there and paying $1 for 8 ounces of water. Yeah. I said, you want me to figure that out for you, mathematical, what you're paying for a gallon? Out of this figure, it costs about 1/100th of a cent. But it's healthy. And whatever. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you, though. You're going to die. Don't want to upset you. I love math. I mean, I always loved math. And I mean, years ago, when I went to school, a lot of years ago, I took Algebra 1, Algebra 2, College Algebra, and Calculus. That was in the 60s. I took it in high school. They tested it on and see if we could do it, so on and so forth, playing solid geometry. I like math. And statistics. And here's one that is pretty true, absolutely true, always true. One in one dies. Can you all remember that statistics? One in one dies. So we need to prepare for that. It's not if. Sometimes somebody say, anything that will happen to me, Clarence, I want you to have this. Say, well, give it to me now because something's going to happen to you. I just kid. But I like to live. How come you're happy, Clarence? I'm saved. My God. How can you have the best thing on the globe? How can you have God in you? How can you have the blessing of God in you? How can you feel the blessing of God overflowing? Hey, how can you do all that and look gloom, despair, and agony on me? I have rough times just like you. But I'll tell you what, I live a God-can life. Amen. Hey, there's been more wow moments in the last 3 weeks. I probably say, wow. Wow, that's amazing. Amen. Praying with a woman the other night. She wanted to need her house stripped out. And I was telling about all that. And she didn't know anybody again. And we were talking about it. And I started out the door. And two people about run me over, come in and said, we're looking for a house we can strip out. I said, wow. And we just got the last word out. I don't even know where this from. Parkersburg, I think. Wow. There have been a lot of those moments in the last 3 weeks. But there have been a lot of those moments in my life down through the years. Wow. Wow. My. You know, God, I know God can do anything, but I still want to be amazed at what He does. I never want to get an attitude where I say, well, I knew you'd do that anyway. Oh, I stand amazed. Amen. I stand amazed. So we see this. Jesus, I come to man and said, if thou kill, I have a son sick, all that. If thou can heal, he said, I'll come. He said, if thou can't believe, he said, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. And sometimes we look at that in Mark 9, and we like to kind of jump on that man and say, whoa, wait a minute. He said, help my unbelief. Then I realized one day, all of us fights unbelief. It's called the flesh. When you got saved, this flesh didn't get perfection. The flesh has to be subject to the Spirit. The Spirit has to constantly, that's why the Bible says you crucify that flesh daily. It's a constant battle. The Apostle Paul said he had a battle. In Romans 7, he had a battle. Amen. But we don't stay in Romans 7. We go to Romans 8. Amen. Where there's victory. But there's a constant battle. When one, you say, oh, I don't have a battle. Yes, you do. You just lied. Yeah. You got a battle with lying. You stop at a stoplight and somebody in front, it turned green there. Your patience goes pretty good to about 3 seconds. Then you start blowing the horn. I don't have a battle. Oh, yes, you do. You have a battle every day of the week. Amen. You have a battle every day of the week. Amen. When the husband don't brag on your biscuits, although he's bragged for the last 25 years, if he doesn't brag, hey, I cook all the time. I made gravy this morning. I wanted somebody to say, boy, that's good gravy, Clarence. Well, they didn't. I said, boy, that's good gravy, ain't it? But I just make whatever. Living a God-can life. Help my unbelief. And I begin to realize what all of us battle is the unbelief. All of us battle is the doubt. All of us battle is the fears. All of us battle is these things. But we're supposed to keep them under subjection. He said, be careful for nothing. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't be in anxiety for anything. But in everything, with supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made unto God. And then when you do all that, and the peace of God, that passes as it all understand, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So help my unbelief. When I begin to doubt, when I begin to get anxieties over something that on your mind, when I begin to help my unbelief, Lord. Help me overcome this, Lord. Help me to crucify these doubts. Help me to get these things behind me. Help me to believe, God, that you're a God can. Amen. You're not a can God. I don't live in a can God world. Amen. I live a God can. He's able to do it, so I'm glad for that. Amen. That's enough. The Lord said, quit, so I quit. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your great grace. We pray, God, we've done thy will. We pray, God, we've preached thy word according to what you gave us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege and the freedom and the interest of people wanting to hear your word. It's exciting, Lord, when people want to hear more about you. It's exciting, Lord, when people want to have church. Church is interesting if we have church. You don't have to make up things. Church is interesting. praying and worshiping and testifying and singing and shaking hands. Amen. And most of all, seeing people helped or saved or healed. It's interesting. It's interesting, Lord, when we sit down, we see something. And Lord, we read a Bible and you're blessed. Or we see something in nature itself and you're blessed. Or we hear somebody say something, we're blessed. Or we see what you've done, we're blessed. It's interesting. We love you. So apply the message, Lord, to our hearts. As I say, it's not about us and them. It's about none of us can even walk without you holding our hands. And it's about every one of us needing your grace. So we thank you. In thy name we pray, dear Jesus. Amen.